Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. It's such a privilege to preach the message of grace to people all over the world. You know, the more I study grace, the more I experience the power of God in my life. Because God is a God of grace. He is the hand of grace that was nailed by grace, the word Jehovah in the Hebrew language. Everything about God is His influence upon man through Jesus Christ, which is grace. If we can know that the grace of God is the power of God in our lives, we will always, with great open arms, accept the message of grace in our lives. But that is not the case in everybody's life. So many people today are afraid of the message of grace. They think that the message of grace is good for salvation, it's good to get saved and to go to heaven, and that we can know that by grace we are saved, meaning by grace we're going to go to heaven one day when we die, which is such a watered down, wrong interpretation of grace. Grace is much more than that. People think that grace is just for salvation, just for going to heaven, but it's got nothing to do with our lives today. And in our lives today, we need to obey God through obeying scriptures and all of those type of things, trying to be pleasing unto the Father by our works. Now, we're going to look more into that today from the book of Peter. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in that scripture, there's so much depth. If we go and look at the Hebrew language, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained. That word obtained means to receive by divine lot. Now, it's so powerful to know that we have received faith by a divine lot. And just what it actually means is just given for free. And then it says, like precious, it means of the same value faith, with us through the righteousness of God. So, he's actually saying here that he's writing to people that has received faith as a gift freely, as they have received it, and the same value of faith, the same power of faith that was just given for free by Jesus Christ. So we must know that if we are believers on Jesus, if we've heard the gospel of grace, the gospel of God's unconditional love, we've received the very same faith as what Peter had, as what Paul had, as what John had, the faith that the people had that wrote most of the New Testament. We've received the same quality of faith. You know, so many times we've seen faith as something that we must work up to get to a higher level of faith, to increase our faith, which is not the truth. Faith is something that happens to you when you see what God has done for you. The only thing that can bring a difference between our faith and the faith that Peter had and Paul had is the gospel we hear. If we hear the same message as what Peter heard, if we hear the same message as what Paul has preached, we will have the same faith. Faith is a persuasion that comes through what you hear. If we don't hear the same thing Paul preached, if we don't hear the same thing that Peter preached, we will not have the same faith. But what he said here is that faith is something that was in them, and it was he wrote to people that had the very same faith because it was just divinely given unto them. It came by God. God gave them the faith. Now you might say, Bertie, that's too easy. We should believe. Let me tell you, you do believe. But the faith that you have is a result of the Word of God that's bearing fruit in you. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, the Logos, the idea that God has with Jesus Christ. If we can take the idea that God has and put it into words, and we can understand that, that will produce faith in us. God's idea with man is that God will indwell man and live through man. God's idea with man was never to give him a set of rules and to see if man can do it and be godly by his own efforts. God's idea with Jesus Christ was to come and indwell man, to represent man, and to live through man. And if we can't see the gospel in that simplicity, we will just have unbelief, doubt, and fear reigning and ruling in our hearts. Now, the word righteousness is so powerful there. It says that we've received faith through the righteousness of God. Now that word righteousness means to be in the right place. To be in the right place or as one ought to be. So God has given us faith by Him being in the place He ought to be and Jesus Christ being in the place that He ought to be. So God knew that He had to be in a certain place concerning His love for man, and Jesus Christ had to be in a certain place concerning His obedience to the law, His obedience to God when He walked the earth. And when they were in the right place, it could impart faith unto everybody that hear that simple message. Man, isn't that powerful? It's such a powerful, powerful scripture. Because what God wants for us is to have faith. God wants us to live in absolute power. He wants us to live in absolute victory. And it is all a gift from God. And Peter came in the first chapter of the second book, or the second letter, he just wrote to the people that the thing is by grace. It's by the promise of God. Even faith was obtained, given freely by God, a divine lot that has been given. So God has divinely imparted faith unto all of us by Himself being in the place He ought to be, and by Jesus being in the place He ought to be. So our faith is not based on our works. Our faith is not based on our emotions. I want to tell you, your emotions is based on your faith. What you feel is as a result of what you believe. If you feel condemnation, it's because you believe God's upset with you, or you believe that what you've done is not good. If you feel you cannot be blessed, it's because of a wrong belief system. Your emotions and your feelings and what you say is all based on what you believe. Never try to change what you say. Now I want to say it again. Never try to change what you say. I've said in a previous broadcast, so many times we go around and we say, with fear in our hearts, we go around and we say, I don't fear, I don't fear, I'm set free, I don't fear. Man, you're a very fearful person just confessing that you don't have fear. But you've got fear in your heart. Go to the Word of God, go and see where God is seated, where you are seated with Him, where Jesus Christ is placed. And out of that, you will find the free gift of faith flowing to you. And you will find all of a sudden true peace and rest and love coming to your heart. And then when you confess, I'm not afraid, it's because you're not afraid. You know, the Bible says, how can you that are evil speak good things? You will give account for every idle word you say. You must know an idle word isn't the wrong thing you say. An idle word is saying something you're not. Confessing something you're not. Let me tell you, we are the righteousness of God. And if you can see it in the free gift in what God has done in Jesus Christ, and you can hear that and persuasion comes to your heart as a gift, and you confess out of that knowing, I am full of peace, saying, I've got peace. You know, so many times Christians go around confessing things and all they have is the confession with their mouth, but they never have the experience of the thing. We should experience peace. We should experience joy. Doesn't matter what the bank account says. We should experience peace in our hearts. And if you don't have that experience of peace, it means we need to go deeper into what God has freely given unto us. All we can do is just say, my God, I want to know your righteousness. I want to know the righteousness of Jesus. I want to know what He has done for me. And as you do that, you will find absolute faith coming into your heart with the experience of peace. Man, that's what God wants for us, and that's exactly His plan in Jesus Christ, to give us that peace that we can live by it and feel it. You know, I understand that we should not, you know, every wrong feeling we have, just run away with it. So I feel to go and sin and just run and sin. Now, I don't say we should just do everything we feel, even the wrong things. But what I do believe is that our emotions can be so influenced by the grace of God that we can have peace in the Scripture, we can have peace in our minds, and we can experience peace as well. That's what God wants for us. There's no victory in just confessing good and never experiencing that. There's no victory in saying, well, God has prospered me, but there's never ever going to be something in your bank. You're never going to have anything if we talk about financial prosperity. What does it help? We talk about healing all the time, but we never experience healing. What does it help we say there's no condemnation for us, but the moment we do something that we think is wrong, we are flooded with condemnation? Then your whole Christianity is just a theory. There's no experience in the thing, and I'm not trying to tell you, you must now work up experience. What I'm saying is that faith is a gift from God, it's freely given, and with that comes, with true faith, comes emotion, experience, and a change of life. And all of that is given because God is in the place He should be. And the only thing for me, or the only time that I will not have true faith, is when God moves from where He is seated. The moment He steps from His throne, the moment He's not enthroned anymore, the moment Jesus is not the Son of God anymore, the representative of man, the moment Jesus sins in heaven, the moment He becomes a spirit only and has got no physical body, that day is the day when I will lose my faith. Because my faith is a gift from God. You know, so many times we say, we shouldn't lose the faith, we should stay in the faith. The only way you can stay in faith is by staying in the message of grace. Now, let's go to verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So here Peter comes. He says, faith has been given by the righteousness of God. It's been freely given by the divinity of God. It was given out of who He is. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, I want to tell you, God's plan for you is that grace will increase in your life and that peace will increase in your life. And these days I've seen so many people being so afraid of the message of grace, saying, oh, you know, we shouldn't put too much of an emphasis on the message of grace and peace, saying, you know, the grace of God is everything and we must just preach grace and put a great emphasis on grace. A lot of people say, let obedience be multiplied and not grace. But Peter, if you go and read the writings of John, especially the writings of Paul, it starts off all the time, grace and peace unto you. Paul comes and he writes to the church in Corinth who's been in adultery. Now you must remember that whenever Paul wrote, or Peter, or the people that wrote the Bible, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Here comes Paul, and he writes to people that's been in adultery, sinning, getting drunk at the communion. Imagine you having communion in church, and yes, people bringing their a lot of wine, they're drinking, they're so drunk, you know, they're just eating. Some people are without food, hungry, looking at the others being drunk, having a massive party in church. That's what they were doing at the communion table. I mean, it's an abomination. It's not good. It's not righteous. But Paul writes to those people. He says, grace and peace unto you from our God. Isn't that powerful? He says, grace and peace to you from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So while they were doing those things, God pronounced grace to them and peace to them. Because the Bible says, where sin multiplies or increases, grace abounds even more. So the more we find people in sin, the more we need to preach the grace of God so that they can be set free from their sins. And with a wrong understanding of grace, we will actually be speaking against the work of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be against Christ, because if you are against Jesus, how will you ever be saved? All that will be left for you is condemnation and eternal hell. If you are against grace, my friend, I want to tell you, you're against God. You're against Jesus. You're against who He is, and there is no salvation for you. The only place that there is salvation is by grace. Yo, Bertie, how can you say that? Well, I'm just saying what the Scripture says. The Bible says we are saved by grace, through faith. By grace you are saved. So if you are standing against the message of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace, and the multiplication of grace, my friend, you're against God. You're against the salvation plan of Jesus Christ. You are denying Jesus. You are not agreeing with, you are saying the opposite as what Jesus Christ is saying. And I don't want you to be like that. God doesn't want you to be like that. So be careful when it comes to the message of grace and people being against the message of grace and saying, oh, well, it's just a license to sin. It's not the way God wants us. People just use that because they don't want to be obedient to the Scripture. Watch out, because the grace of God is the only way unto salvation. Man, if you really understand what grace is, you will find the life of God indwelling you. The grace of God is literally God indwelling you and living through you. So let's look more into this message of grace, because he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now that word knowledge in the Greek means the acknowledgement. So it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the acknowledgement of God and the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ our Lord. So you must know that through acknowledging God and what He's done and acknowledging what Jesus Christ has done, grace will be multiplied unto you. So if you say, man, this grace message is not the thing for the world today, we're going to just upset God if we preach too much grace. There must be a balance between grace and your obedience to the Scriptures. I want to tell you, the more you get into that, the further you are from acknowledging what God has done for you in Jesus Christ and what God acknowledges about you. That word acknowledge there, or knowledge, says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the acknowledgement of God. You know, truth is what God thinks about you. Truth is God's opinion. God's opinion about man is the truth. And what God acknowledges, if we can know what God acknowledges and we can acknowledge what He acknowledges, it's two or three agreeing in this world. If God's Word is in this world and His Word says you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus and you can agree with it, you can acknowledge what He acknowledges, it will be established by two or three witnesses. So if I come and I say, man, the Word of God, Paul, Peter wrote and they witnessed that Jesus Christ died, the sin of the world has been paid for, man became righteous through even receiving the righteousness of God, being in the right place as God is in the right place, by Jesus becoming sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 21. If we can acknowledge with the Word of God, with Paul, with the Holy Spirit in us, man, it will be established in our lives. And if we don't preach grace, but we preach obedience to Scriptures, obedience to do's and don'ts, we will never have the righteousness of God. We might look righteous, but we'll never be righteous. God doesn't want you to look righteous. He wants you to be righteous. And the righteousness that's in you will manifest in your physical life. And you will experience that. Right, let's quickly go to Jude chapter 1. And we're going to look at something very profound there. It's so powerful and just explains everything that I've just said. Jude chapter 1. Verse 2, Jude verse 2, it says, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. There we see the same thing in the life of Paul. Mercy be multiplied unto you. What is mercy? Mercy is God treating you better than what you deserve. That's mercy. It's deeds of compassion flowing from the innermost being, the core or the spine of somebody, with a purpose to treat him better than what he deserves. That's mercy. When I think of the word mercy, I think of the movie Braveheart, where William Wallace was beheaded and people were just shouting, mercy, mercy, mercy. That mercy is treat him better than what he deserves. Don't kill the guy. Actually, they were saying kill him, because the whole torment that he went through and what they did to him, they tortured him, you know, was just too much. Have mercy. Treat him better than what he deserves. He deserves to be tortured, but just kill him once. Behead him and it will just be all over. And treat him better than what he deserves. It says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. So the writer says, man, love must be multiplied. Grace must be multiplied. Mercy must be multiplied. So when the gospel is being preached on television all over the world in pulpits today, there must be a greater emphasis on love, mercy and grace, that it can be multiplied unto us. Why? According to Romans chapter 7 from verse 5, it says, so that we can bear fruit unto God. Without mercy and grace being multiplied, you will never bear fruit unto God. Beloved, Verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So what does he say here? He says we must earnestly contend to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What was the faith that was delivered unto the saints? We can read that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 6. It says, Since the day you heard the word of truth, the word of grace, in truth you were bearing fruit. So the gospel is the word of grace bearing fruit in the lives of people. So what he's saying is, let's contend for the message of faith. What we've received in the beginning, what they've received in the beginning was the message of grace. Hallelujah. Then it says in verse 4, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So what he's saying is these men are unto condemnation. What do they say? Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word lasciviousness is also licentiousness, if you look in the Greek, and it means extensive indulgence of liberty, contempt of just restraints of law. So what it says here is, it literally says, it's lasciviousness is people turning the message of grace into something that says, man, it is an excessive indulgence of liberty and we're just departing from the law. So there will be people, and this is what he says in Jude, he says, let's indulge into the message, or let's have the message of grace being multiplied unto us, of love being multiplied unto us, because there will be people that will come and say, you know, the message of grace is just a license to sin, and it's just a bunch of people that want to depart from the law. That's what it is saying. Let me read it again. It says, For there are certain men crept in unaware, who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the moment we say the message of grace is just departing from the law and a license to sin, you are denying Jesus. And I want to put it this way. If you are preaching grace, you are not preaching a license to sin. But there are people that are saying, the moment you speak on grace, that grace is just a license to sin for lazy people not wanting to obey the commandments of God, using it as a license to sin. We should be very careful of what we say about the grace of God. Because preaching like that made people afraid of the grace of God, therefore they cannot be saved. There are many people today that has come to Jesus and they just repented of their sins, and by willpower decided to obey commandments that Jesus said, like, for instance, if somebody's got something against you, forgive him, love, and all those good conduct things that Jesus said, and they've repented, changed their old life to just living a holy life, and they are not saved. They are not saved. They call themselves Christians, but they're not saved, just living a good life. By grace we are saved. By understanding that all our sins has been paid for, that we stand sinless before God, and because the seed of God indwells us, we cannot sin. If we realize that and we say, man, by what Jesus Christ has done, we've been made righteous, that's the only way unto salvation. Hallelujah. We can go and read that clearly in Romans, and I think in the next session we will talk on that, where he says that the election that we've received, the salvation we have received, is not of the one who works, not of the one who wills, or the one that runs, but of him that has mercy. So your salvation is out of the mercy of God, not out of your willpower, not of the way you run your Christian race. It's not out of those things. It's out of mercy. God having mercy on you. There are people today that are all over the world that are saying, watch out for the message of grace. It's just being preached as a license to sin. We need to obey or we're going to go to hell. I tell you something, my brother, even if you are a pastor, somebody watching me right now preaching that, you've got a chance to repent right now. You can right now say, my God, I know it's not the way it is, and I realize today that the message of God's grace is the only way unto salvation. And change what you preach, because what you preach is actually, according to verse 4 here, it is denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. grace. If we stand for grace, we accept Jesus. If we say we should be careful for grace, we are saying we should be careful for the message of Jesus Christ. Man, I want to tell you, God loves you. God cares for you, and grace is the only way unto salvation. Grace is the only way unto a change of life. Grace is the only way unto holiness and righteousness and the manifestation of that in your life. Let's pray together. Father, I come in Jesus' name and I bless every person that's hearing my voice right now. I speak over them. I say unto you, grace and peace, the love of God be multiplied unto you. Amen. If you want to make use of our ministry products, it's up for a donation of any amount. And if you've got any prayer requests, just send your request or praise report to the number on your screen. God bless you.